Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Yeshayahu Perek Yud Tet, chapter 19. We're in the Masa'ot section, which are messages that Yeshayahu gives over about the other nations. And so far we've read the messages that he directed, that he wrote about Babel, Babylonia, Assyria, Moab, Aram, and Cush. And today we're going to talk about the message about Mitzrayim. Now, Mitzrayim is a big name. We all have a kind of a visceral reaction to Mitzrayim. But in order to fully understand Egypt and what it represented in the time of Yeshayahu, we need to think back to the 8th century BCE. And the important thing to realize is that with the geographical placement of Israel, Israel sat at the center of the northern superpower, Assyria, who was steadily encroaching southward with the goal of world domination. And then the other power source in the south is Egypt. And Israel is at the center of this pressure cooker. That's actually a Yirmiyahu-type metaphor. And Israel, because of this, had a really complicated relationship with Egypt. There's a history of animosity between the two countries, and yet there's also this potential collaboration that if Israel and Egypt join together, perhaps they can ally themselves against the northern superpower. Now, because of Israel's location, we mentioned that they're at a strategic location connecting the north and the south, and they also give access to a number of water sources. At the same time, Egypt also represents our original oppressor. And in the Torah, Egypt represents all the worst things that can come out of building an empire that's built on slavery, arrogance, and a desire for world dominance. So let's keep all that in mind, and now let's look at the text of the Psukim. So Pasuk Aleph begins, Masa Mitzrayim, an oracle about Mitzrayim. Hine Hashem rochev al av kal uva Mitzrayim. So Hashem rides on a light cloud, and he comes to Egypt. Vina'u elile Mitzrayim mipanav ulevav Mitzrayim yimas bekirbo, and all of Egypt's idolatry will tremble before Hashem, and the heart of Egypt will sink within them. And I want you to notice here how much language there is that draws from the original the Yetziat Mitzrayim story in Sefer Shmot. Hashem here rides on a cloud into Egypt. And the word rachav, ride, reminds us of the sus v'rechav, all the chariots and horses that Egypt had when they chased after the Jews in the into the desert. And the clouds remind us of the cloud that Hashem used to protect the Jews from those very Egyptians. Also, the language of the melting heart, right, v'yimas levavo, is the same language that's used in Az Yashir to describe the reaction of all the other nations to the miraculous exodus from Egypt. Now, in Pasuk Bet, Hashem continues to describe Egypt's demise, but here from a different source. V'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim, v'nilchamu ish b'achiv v'ish b're'ehu, ir b'ir mamlecha b'mamlecha. So Hashem says that he will incite Egypt to fight against Egypt, and every person will fight with their neighbor, with their friend, city with a city, and a kingdom with a kingdom. And I've heard Rav Benny Lau speak about this pasuk, that this really represents Yeshayahu's philosophy in general of how to deal with other nations. Let them fight it out with each other. Don't get involved. Getting involved in these treaties makes things worse for you, makes things more complicated. Ultimately, we, Israel, should trust in Hashem and let these different nations fight it out with each other, even with their internal strife. And it's interesting, we still see that today. You know, at certain times, Israel received a respite from Palestinian terror when the different factions end up fighting with each other. The Navi then describes two other reversals, and these are downward reversals, that will occur to the Egyptians. In Pasuk Dalid, he says, "Sikarti et Mitzrayim biyad adonim kasheh." I'm going to put the Egyptians at the mercy of a very harsh master. Umelech oz yimshol bam neum hadon Hashem tzvakod, and there will be a very harsh king who will rule over them. And it's so glaringly obvious how this is again the reversal of the slavery in Egypt. Here, Egypt will be, you know, the oppressed nation under the hands of harsh Adonim masters and kings. And then in Pasuk Hey, a different type of reversal, Yeshayahu describes Vinishtu Mayim Mehayam Benahar Yichravi Vesh, that all of a sudden all the water in Egypt, and we know that water was the main source of Egypt's prosperity, the Nile. Now the water will fail from all the seas, the rivers will dry up, and they'll be parched. Okay, back bringing us back a little bit to the Makot, certainly Makat Dam, but also Egypt's dominance is so dependent on that water source. And now, not only will this cause a lack of natural resources, but it destroys the entire economic infrastructure of Egypt. And Yeshayahu goes on to describe how this will affect the fishermen who will no longer have their livelihood. And not just the fishermen, but those who create supplies, right? Whoever, you know, weaves together the nets for the fishermen. And ultimately, Egypt will reach a state where they're stricken, confused, and paralyzed with fear. And as with all these masa'ot, these predictions about Egypt can be interpreted in light of the events of Yeshayahu's day, primarily the losses that Egypt incurred at the hands of Assyria during the time of King Chizkiyahu, when Israel was saved, but Egypt suffered, or as a future prediction against Egypt. And I think we've often talked about how we can kind of put these two together, that perhaps some of this was filled in Yeshayahu's day, but as not all of it was, it kind of stands pending as a future-focused prophecy. Now, but the most fascinating part of this parak is the end. So don't stop now. You're going to miss, you know, you got to stay on for the best part. And this parak closes with a list of things that will happen by Yom Hahu on that day. And the first thing that happens by Yom Hahu is not unexpected. And Yeshayahu describes that Egypt will become fearful of Yehuda. But the next four by Yom Hahus are actually quite unexpected, and therefore I want to list them for you. So the first one is by Yom Hahu on that day, Egypt will begin to speak Sfat Kanaan, the language of Kanaan, which the medieval Parshanim interpret as Lashon HaKodesh, right? Like the holy tongue. Not only that, but Egypt will declare their loyalty to Hashem. So what's being described here, and you could see the beginning of this, is that it's not just a decimation, but it's actually a revival, a coming back. And then, by Yom Hahu, it doesn't just stop there, Mitzrayim will build a Mizbeach, an altar to Hashem on their border. But what's even more surprising is the language that Yeshayahu uses to describe the purpose of that Mizbeach. And he says, V'haya le'ot ule'ed la'Hashem tzvakot be'eretz Mitzrayim. So it will be a sign or like a witness for Hashem in Mitzrayim. Why? Why do they need this sign and this witness? It tells them something. Ki yitzaku el Hashem mipnei lochtzim v'yishlach lehem Moshia v'rab v'hatzilam. So when Egypt is feeling oppressed, then Hashem will send them a savior and save them. And here we're continuing with our theme of the reversals, but in this case, the reversals continue. Not only is Egypt the oppressed, which we saw in the first half of the parak, but now Egypt will also become the saved. When they are being pressured, when they feel the lachat, another word that's used in the Yetziat Mitzrayim story, then they will cry out to Hashem, just like Bnei Yisrael did, Veitzaku Bnei Yisrael El Hashem, that brought about their salvation, and Hashem will step in and be Hoshia Otam. He will save them. He'll bring about their Hatzalah. And they continues that Hashem will then make himself known to Mitzrayim, and V'yidu Mitzrayim et Hashem b'yom ahu. On that day, Egypt will recognize Hashem and they'll serve him. So there's a total reversal. And if we go back even to the beginning of the Egypt story, back in, it's not the very beginning of the Torah, but the story of the slavery in Egypt, right? When Moshe came to power the first time, power said, Mi Hashem asher shema b'kolo. And here ultimately, Ve'yid'u Mitzrayim et Hashem, that Mitzrayim will recognize Hashem. And this was the purpose of the Makot as well, partially the purpose of the Makot. And now this will come fully to be fully fulfilled. Now, the next three psukim, I have to read you inside because they are just, I think, kind of mind-blowing. So Pasuk of Gimel says, Bayom Ahu, on that day, Tiyeh Misila Mitzrayim Ashura, there will be a path that travels from Mitzrayim, Egypt, to Ashur, Assyria. And you have to picture that, again, that this path is moving from the south to the north and traveling from Egypt up north, clearly through Israel, and then ultimately to Assyria. And what will happen? Uba Ashur b'Mitzrayim, u'Mitzrayim b'Ashur, v'avdu Mitzrayim et Ashur. And they will, Assyria and Mitzrayim will, and Egypt will traverse this path, and together they will serve Hashem. The language sounds like it says that the Mitzrayim will serve Ashur, but clearly the context is talking about the two of them serving Hashem. And it continues in Pasuk Chav Dalet, Bayomahu Yiyeh Yisrael Shlishiya LeMitzrayim UleAshur. So on that day, Israel will become like a third partner to Egypt and Assyria. Right, imagine that. These are our sworn enemies from time eternal, and all of a sudden, Israel becomes the third partner here. And by the way, Shlishiya is the modern Hebrew word for triplets, which I think kind of helps you picture this concept, like the shock of this, that this vision of Israel is almost a triplet to Egypt and to Assyria. And it continues, Bracha b'kerev ha'aretz, there'll be a blessing in the midst of the earth. And then in Pasuk Chav Hei, this is the last pasuk of the perek, Asher berchu Hashem tzvakot lemor, that Hashem blessed, saying, Baruch ami Mitzrayim, blessed is my nation, Egypt, u'ma'aseh yadai, Ashur, and the work of my hands, Assyria, v'nachalati Yisrael, and my portion, Israel. This pasuk is huge because here, what's happening is that Hashem is using his special language of Ami to speak about Egypt, right? Yisrael is always called Ami by Hashem, my nation. And here, all of a sudden, Mitzrayim is called Ami, my nation. And some of the medieval Parshanim are so bothered by this that they actually kind of reread the Pasuk. So, for example, Targum Yonatan says, he adds in a few psukim. So instead of saying a few words, instead of saying Baruch Ami Mitzrayim, blessed is my nation Mitzrayim, he says, no, it means Baruch Ami Shehotzeti Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Blessed is the nation that I took out of Egypt. And the Malbim says, Asher Baruch Ami Mitzrayim, saying that no, Mitzrayim will bless my nation. And then when it says Uma Aseya Dai Ashur, it means that Ashur will bless the creations of my hand, again talking about Yisrael. So the impact of this is huge, that, you know, the how could it be that Mitzrayim is called Ami and Ashur is called Ma'aseya Dai? So both Targum Yonatan and Malbim kind of turned the Pasuk a little bit on its head in order to say, no, both of those are referring to Yisrael, but this is the way that Mitzrayim and Ashur will treat Yisrael. But the Radak says, quite simply, Asher Baruchu Hashem, he says there, Kol Echad Mishloshtam Baruchu Hashem Tzvakot. All three of these will be blessed, right, by Hashem, Vayomer, and Hashem will say, Baruch Ami Mitzrayim, blessed is my nation Mitzrayim, Sheshavu Lihiyot Ami, that they returned once again to be my nation. And I think this perek really caps off the question that we started with at the beginning of with the Masa'ot, which is what really are the goals of all these Masa'ot, these oracles about other nations. And we've discussed and we've seen how they talk about a restoration of kind of divine justice in the world, where people who oppressed others, and particularly people who oppressed Yehuda, the southern kingdom, will be punished, and there will be a sense of tzedek, of divine justice. And we discussed how these prakim serve as a comfort for the Jewish nation, that even if things are hard now, they shouldn't feel like they're fully abandoned. But I think really maybe one of the primary goals of these Masa'ot is for Hashem, through Yeshayahu, to describe this universal vision, that the universal vision is inclusive of all nations. And ultimately, Hashem's desire is for Yisrael to continue to be his Am Segula, his treasured nation, but one who teaches others and who brings other nations, even those enemies, those lifelong enemies of Assyria and Mitzrayim, teaches them to come back, where ultimately all the nations in the world can stand as that shlishia, as triplets, or as many more than triplets, and all together serve Hashem. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.